You're listening to STP Radio.
Welcome back to STP Radio. I'm your host, Damian Sinodinos. I'm excited to be conducting an interview today with one of our upcoming speakers for the Software Test Professionals Fall Conference. In case you haven't signed up yet, STPCon will be in Dallas, Texas this fall from Monday, September 19th. Through Thursday, September 22nd this year. Be sure to check us out at stpcon.com, where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our special events, our conference pricing, and a whole lot more. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at Software Test Pro on both of those services. Now, today we're going to be doing something a little different. Regular listeners know that our regular host is Mike Lyles, but today we've turned the tables on Mike. We're putting Mike on the other side of the table today, and we're going to be interviewing him. Mike, for those that don't know him, is a QE program manager with Belk. He has over 23 years of experience in IT, taking on various roles from development, program management office, multiple roles within testing. And Mike, I'm very glad to have you with us today. How are you?
Thank you so much, Damian. Thanks for doing this for us as well.
Absolutely. I'm peachy pleased to be here. So before we get into it, I want to find out a little bit more about you. So Mike, tell us about Mike. How'd you get into testing?
Well, it all began in the sixth grade. I was taking a computer programming certification class, and it's not certification, so don't want to go that far. But it was a course on how to be a programmer, and I took that course in sixth grade on an Apple IIe computer, and I said, wow, I want to be a programmer. I went home and I told my mom two things. I want to be a programmer, and I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. Well, the first part was true. I was a programmer, but I didn't know that it was going to shape me up to be a tester down the road. But I'm sure that it was one of the foundations. It's what helped me to really be better at testing and understand the whole concept. But I went through the ranks, developed for many, many years, led development teams, moved into software testing when a company that I was with at the time started a testing group. We didn't have one. Once we built that out, and I just had this passion for software testing that I didn't have with development and the other work that I'd done in the PMO and other teams that I'd worked in. And I said, this is what I'm going to do forever. And I got into all grades of testing, whether it was hands-on testing, whether it was test automation or performance testing, or even stepping outside, kind of getting into the DevOps world and doing QA environments and data management and software configuration, and just kind of got a touch of everything. And that became me. And I knew that was something that I was going to do forever.
That sounds like the Mike that I know. That's awesome. I love the breadth and depth of that experience. Diverse backgrounds are fantastic. Now, you've been a part of the STPCon for quite a few years now. You're currently the director of strategy with STP. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us how you became involved with STP initially, and what have you done through the years?
So it was a very strange situation. I had just started Twitter and got involved with Twitter probably later than most people did, but it was around November of 2011. And I was just starting Twitter, updated my profile, and said, I'm in software testing. I want to be a writer. I want to be a leadership writer and write a book someday. And a guy reached out to me that was working with STP at the time, Matt Heuser, and I didn't know him. And he said, I don't know about a book, but I'd love to interview you for an article we're doing called Ask the Tester. And it was with software test professionals. And I said, sure. You know, I'd never been in any articles, never been published anywhere, never spoke anywhere officially. And he got me into that. That turned into him saying, I'm going to turn over the reins to you and let you do Asked the Tester, and I interviewed several testers and got to meet a lot of people that are now speaking for STP by reaching out to total strangers like Matt did and giving them an opportunity. But I got involved with STP by becoming a speaker in 2012, went to Miami, spoke at a conference there, did a session, and I was thrilled just to be doing a session. And after a couple of STP cons that I did, I spoke to the folks that were running the show, and I said, I'd like to do a workshop. Would you allow me to do that? And they said, absolutely. So I did a workshop, and I loved it. And I said, this is really what I love doing. Moved from a workshop to doing a keynote for them back in 2014, and things just kind of continued to grow. I got really closely involved. I got very passionate about helping them build out the community and plan our next events and select speakers and look at what the topics were and try to help build that program out and look at it from a from different angles, from a tester's perspective, from a performance and automation and hands-on and leadership and mobile, and it just trying to build out all the tracks that we could do. And we got folks on a committee. We built a really strong community, and things just kept evolving to the point where the folks at STP said, we'd like for you to be our director of strategy. We'd like for you to help us continue to build this out. And it has been wonderful. I just really love working with these guys. I love it. And I can't wait every 6 months when we go to a new conference. It's just really exciting for me. And I'm just, it's like my vacation every 6 months. I get to go be part of, you know, this big event. And it's like, we talk about where are we going next? What are we going to do next? And it's just continuing to grow. Our community is getting bigger and bigger. We're getting more topics and more speakers, and we're getting a lot of attention from a lot of folks out there in the community. And it's just really exciting.
That's awesome. You can really hear your passion when you talk about this. My favorite part of that story is the beginning, when you talk about people helping people, giving opportunities. And I like to think that I was given a lot of opportunities early in my career that I can turn around and give to others. And I know that you're doing that as well.
Yes.
You have a session at the conference this year, and it's called, I love this title, What the 80s Taught Me About Software Testing. It sounds like a really interesting presentation. And I mean, to me personally, and it's not just because I grew up in the 80s and I'm a software tester, but I'm curious where you got the concept and what do you hope to accomplish with this session?
So this one was a lot of fun because I actually did a similar version of this as my first keynote with the software test professionals back in New Orleans in 2014. And it was so much fun. It was my first keynote. It was the first time I ever got on stage and realized that I can't see anybody because the lights are right in your face. And I was not prepared for that. And so my very first 5 seconds on the stage, I'm thinking, I'm talking to the lights. But when I talked to the guys at STP and they said, we'd like for you to do a keynote, do you have a topic? I thought, what could I talk about? What could I think about that really has been a part of my life? And I thought, 80s, music, Rubik's Cubes, the A-Team, Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Galaga, everything about the 80s was my life. If I could take a cell phone and go back in time, because I need my cell phone because I can't live without it. But if I could take a cell phone and go back in time, I would love to live in the 80s all over again. And it was just such an inspiring time. I grew up, you know, I learned everything about my life. I was very impressionable. And I started thinking every day I would be driving home thinking about that keynote. And then as I start building this session, I said, I want to make it better and do a 1 hour session. And I look at what I've got now for this session compared to what I had for the keynote. And the keynote was really successful. But I've got so much more material, and I really like the idea of I'd be driving home and I would have the radio, XM radio on the 80s channel, and every song I would hear would be like, that can be related to testing. You know, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. We didn't start the fire thinking about, you know, the testers didn't start the fire, the developers did. And just different songs. And then I would look at the A-Team. I would look at Rubik's Cube. I would look at Pac-Man. I would say everything I touched on, I could quickly find a relation to testing. And what I want folks that come to the session to know and to think about when they're there is I'm not going to teach you a brand new concept in testing. It's not going to be that I'm going to tell you something that you're going to take back and say, wow, my mind was blown and I'm going to do all these things differently. What I want folks to do is come and have some fun and think about how that the things that I learned in the 80s helped me prepare for testing and how I can relate that to what I'm doing in testing. And really not as much of like if I go to an automation course or I go to another hands-on context-driven course or a mobile course and really learn a ton of concepts. I don't want to do that. I want folks, it's on Thursday afternoon or right near the second session on Thursday, and I want folks to just have some fun. You know, it's near the end of the conference. Just relax, have some fun. They will have just heard my keynote. And so I'm hoping that it's going to be a lot of fun for folks, especially if you lived in the 80s. I've got some pictures of folks that were at the that's going to be at the conference that sent me some of their pictures, even folks that didn't want to send me their pictures. And I found them. So That's going to be a lot of fun.
If you get that time machine working, you have to promise to take me back too.
Right. I just have to find a DeLorean.
That's right. Another question about your session. One of the takeaways is a glance at how testing has evolved over the years. When I read that, it brought to mind a saying that hindsight is 20/20. Now, without giving too much away, are you able to talk a little bit about how it was to live through the 80s versus look back at the 80s? And did you learn anything from that experience that helps you plan towards the future?
Yeah, I think the one thing that we learned, one of my big takeaways from talking about the 80s is that really generations don't change a lot, even though we think they do. You know, I think my generation was better than my parents. My kids are already telling me their generation is better than mine, and they're only 13 and 8. And the thing that I think that lots of generations do is they say, well, we're living in the best times ever, and it was much tougher back then. But the thing I want to share with folks as I'm talking is be ready for the unexpected. Because when I was living in the 80s, I had to leave my phone at the Apple store a couple of weeks ago because I dropped it and broke it all to pieces. And it was such a simple drop, but that's another story for another day. And they told me they had to keep it for an hour and a half, and then I was going to go have dinner and come back. And I had to drive to the restaurant without my phone, and it drove me crazy. And I'm thinking, in the 80s, I didn't have a phone. I drove all the way to school. I drove all the way to work. I didn't take a phone with me. I didn't need a phone. But we live in a society now where that phone is like connected to me. And we have mobile, we have websites, we have all kinds of technology that we didn't even know we were going to have in the 80s. And so when folks are saying, this is the way we're going to do it, and this is the only way that we're going to test, what I want folks to think about is, if I went back to the 80s and I told someone that you're going to be carrying around a computer in your pocket that's as thin as, you know, a piece of paper, and it's just going to, you can fit it in your back pocket and walk around with it, and it's going to have everything, your contacts, you can be able to call somebody from it, they would have said, you're crazy. It's a great idea, but that sounds like something that would happen in 2050 or something. People just wouldn't believe it. And so I think when folks are testing and they're thinking about how they test, I think they need to think about what should I be doing to prepare myself for being a better tester in the future, and what kind of new things might be coming, and be on the lookout for that. And I think the one thing that I've heard from preparing my keynote and asking some questions to the community is people are saying, think about what works today that I can use tomorrow. And also think about what works today that may not work tomorrow, and be open to learn something new and keep learning and studying. And don't be that tester who's just in the back room, a zombie tester who's just doing the same test all the time. And I've done this all the same way since 1980, and I'm not open to learning something new. So I think it's be open, be prepared for the future, and you know, and be ready when it gets here.
I love that message. That's great insight, and I like the connection between the two contexts. All right, since I'm on this side of the table, I'm going to ask you another question about this session, because I'm so intrigued by it. The 80s were all about music and technology, as you know. And I mean, yeah. To this day, I still have in my car my CDs of Huey Lewis and the News.
I think perfect.
Perfect mix of music and tech representing the 80s. But I also recently learned that you've been playing piano for many years. So we just talked about contexts and connecting them. You've played for a lot of weddings. You've learned piano. So how do you think that pianos playing and testing have a correlation?
Well, you know, I had someone ask me that a long time ago in an interview a couple of years back. And I did this whole Seinfeld thing where the guy thinks of what he should have said afterwards. And I've always wanted to answer that question. And the thing that I say is, playing the piano, my teachers got upset with me because I started when I was 7 years old. I came home from my uncle and my uncle's wedding, and I started playing the piano. And my aunt and a couple other folks in the family said, wow, look at this. He can play. I was playing the wedding march. And how did he learn that? Is he a prodigy? And I'm not. I play okay, but I played by ear. And so I would play by what I could hear. You know, if you say I play by ear, most people know what that means. But playing by ear means I don't look at music. I hear it, and I can play it. I can find the tune, and I can follow along. And that was my strength. And my family sent me to classes when I was 7, and I took those classes for 9 years. And the teachers were getting upset because they were saying, you're not reading the music. You know, and they were forcing me, read this music, learn it, then you can play it by ear. And what I found was the correlation I would have with testing is I was a really good piano player when I didn't use the music. The music helped me. The music would help me kind of get started. The music would get me moving in the right direction. But then I would take it from that and I would start improvising and I would start pulling in some variations of sounds and different things that would kind of add on to it. And people would say, I love that music the way it sounded, but I love the way you made it sound. And when I look at testing, we can have scripts, we can have test cases. People dream by those sometimes and people get hung up on that and that's all they do. And if you do that, it's like playing it by the book. And to me, playing by ear on top of that is saying, I'm going outside, I'm doing exploratory testing, I'm reaching out and doing things and looking for areas where the test cases that someone may have written a year ago or a week ago or yesterday may not be something that is going to cover all the situations for me. And I really need to inspect the product the best that I can. So I really thought that being a piano player and kind of improvising with the piano music with the book versus playing it by ear really helped me to be a better tester.
I love it. Another great message. I have some musical instruments in my background and history as well. And what you just said makes a lot of sense to me. Mike, many of your presentations are focused on leadership. I've heard you speak, I've heard you present. And oftentimes you talk about managing testers, driving great teams. Can you tell me a little bit, what are the types of teams that you personally have led and what's your secret to success in leading those teams?
So I think the one thing that I thought, like I said, when I was in sixth grade was I'm going to be a programmer for the rest of my life. I'm going to be one of those guys who that's all I do. I'm going to have the spinner on the top of my head and I'm going to be programming until I'm so old that they put me in the basement like Office Space and I'm looking for my stapler. And but I was sitting there one day and they moved me to I moved into the PMO group and I realized that's not for me. And I respect people who do PMO work, but that was not me. And I did that for about a year. And I said, I want to go back to development. And I had been in development for several years where I was. When I came back to development, they said, we got an opportunity for a manager in training. And I said, let's try that. And they gave me two people and they told me this person has a very tough time communicating. They're from another country. They have very poor communication skills. This person doesn't want to work very good. And I thought, wow, you're really giving it to me on my first manager in training opportunity here. They didn't give me a superstar. And what I found was I really enjoyed working with those guys who had those struggles that I could help make them better. And I would sit with them. And by the end of it, I don't know if I just learned this person and their short English or they got better at it, but I could have a full conversation with them and maybe some other folks would say, what did she just say? And I was like, I fully understand what she just said. But I think she got really good at just speaking. And that was a simple thing that had nothing to do with technical skills, but I saw these people grow. And I saw this other person that I found that I learned how to be a leader to them without saying to them that everybody else they had ever worked for had said to them, you're not a good player. You're underachieving. You're below the mark. You're not at meeting expectations. You're not meeting it right now. And I would try a different approach. I would say, I really like these two things that you did. You did them really well. Let's improve it and let's see what we can do there. But I would try to hone in on what they do good. And I felt, and it carried into my being a parent. I've told many people, I manage people right now who manage people. In my current role, and they're asking me, how do I help the people that are working for me? Because I want to help them be better. And I would say, if my daughter's room is a mess and I walk in and she's cleaned up just the corner and I say, this is horrible. You've not done anything but the corner. Then obviously she's done. She's not going to be motivated to finish the room. But if I say, what a beautiful corner this looks like. This is so good in this corner. Can you show me how you can expand that further. And I've used that method not only with my daughter or my son, but also with people that I work with. I find that a couple of things they do well, and I hone in on it. And to talking to your question on what teams I've led, I've done PMO teams, I've done development teams, I've led the environment teams, performance automation. I've led all different types of groups within QA and within development as well. So it's been a lot of fun. I just really love honing in on what somebody does well. And then we just dig into that and we make them so happy that they're doing well there that they want to expand and learn something new. Give them a stretch goal. Okay, now you're not as good in this area, but let's go over there and try that now.
I love that. All right, sold. Lead me. You've convinced me. So on that same topic, leadership, as I was researching this, I found an article that you wrote for CIO Magazine where you interviewed Jeffrey Fox. He's a well-known CIO and author on leadership. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
So if you've not read the book, there's a book called How to Become CEO. Jeffrey Fox wrote it. When I first became a manager in 2003, I found that book, and it was already a couple of years old at the time. But the book was a collection of about 25 or 30 chapters, and every chapter was like a blog. And the beauty of that was I didn't have to read the book from front to back to get my message. I could go to chapter 2 today and chapter 4 tomorrow, chapter 10. And I love the way Jeffrey writes, and it's a small book, and the book turned out to be my favorite book ever. I bought 13 copies off of half.com at the time. You could buy books pretty cheap used from other people before eBay bought them. And I bought 13 copies, gave it out to my team because my team was expanding in development and everybody got a book. And I remember one of my folks saying, "You can't motivate me, but just by telling me to be motivated," I said, "just read the book, come see me next week." And they did. And they said, "Wow, that's very inspiring." But Jeffrey Fox has a very unique way of writing leadership books. It's along the lines of your Stephen Covey's and John Maxwell's and Brian Tracy's. And I heard someone say one time, you never know if you can get what you want until you ask. And so I went to Facebook, the beauty of technology today, something I couldn't do in the 80s. And I went out to search for Jeffrey Fox, and I found he had a Facebook page. And I said, "Hey, Jeffrey, I loved your book. It inspired me. I bought 13 copies, gave it to my whole team. I would love to interview you someday." I'd never interviewed anybody. And he writes back, "Sure, here's my publicist's name." And they emailed me, and I did a recorded interview with him. We typed it up. I sent it to CIO Magazine. They published it. And that, to me, is one of the highlights of my career, was being able to take that guy, get his feedback. And a side note here is the beautiful part is I emailed him the notes that we took, my questions, his answers. He printed those out on his letterhead and wrote the changes, you know, the typical old style writer. I just love his style, and mailed it to me. Told me, "I need your mailing address." He didn't want to edit an email. He wanted to mail it to me. So I've got his letterhead, which is going to be framed someday in my office. You know, his changes, it was one of those events where when somebody says, "What's one of the biggest things you've done in your life?" I said, interviewing Jeffrey Fox was just amazing. And I've done it with Brian Tracy. He's up for an interview with me. And I found that I just ask everybody. Now, I get more no's now than I used to because I have more questions and I ask a lot more people. But I found taking that opportunity, Jeffrey said, "Sure, let's do it."
That's an awesome story. I love the initiative. That is so inspiring. You make me want to get up and go and do right now. Okay, so this is STP Radio. Let's talk a little bit more about STP Con.
Yes, yes.
You've been the conference host for STP Con for several years now. At the last STP Con, spring 2016, I was very fortunate to be part of a keynote panel along with Smita Mishra and Dave Hefner. Thank you for that. This panel covered many questions from the community as well as guests in the general session. Now, this year, I know that you're going to do a sequel, an encore of this panel with brand new guests. You want to tell us a little bit about that panel and what you hope the attendees will take away from it?
Yeah, I think we've got a big opportunity to have this panel as one of our keynotes almost every STP Con now, because it was so successful with you guys. It was such a big hit. Folks were sending in questions like crazy. They were asking questions during it. I think we could have had that be a half-day workshop and people would have continued to ask you guys questions. And so we started looking at who could we have be part two of this. And we've got Melissa Tondi, we've got Paul Grazafi, and we've got Mary Thorne. So we're touching on Melissa Tondi with her mobile and leadership experience and her vast experience in leadership and mobile. Paul Grazafi, as you know, with his automation experience and coming to kind of be the new Dave Hefner from the panel from last time. And then Mary Thorne, she's an agile expert, leadership, and the three of them are just fired up. We did a STP radio interview with them a couple of weeks ago or a month or so ago, and it was just so great. These guys are fired up. They're as excited as you guys were the last time. And I think it's going to be a really good panel where these folks are really going to share their experience. And everybody that's there is going to have something to ask one of those folks, I'm sure.
I'm sure they will. Yes. We enjoyed doing it. I can speak for myself, and I'm sure that Dave and Smita would agree. And, you know, we set the bar pretty, pretty high. So
absolutely. And these guys know that.
No, they're going to be fantastic. I can't wait for that. Now, speaking of keynotes, you are also one of the keynote speakers for this STPCon.
Yes.
You're doing it. Yeah. Awesome. You're doing a keynote called "The Drive-Through is Not Always Faster: Rethinking Your Testing Practice." Now, that also is an interesting title and an interesting session abstract. Can you tell us a little bit about the idea for this keynote? Where did you come up with that, and what are you going to talk about?
So the first of that title came from a book that I've been working on for I don't know how many years, and I'm close to wrapping it up. It's so close that it's almost ready for publication, and I've got a cover for it already with a friend. But, and I was sitting in a drive-through, literally watching, as I do many times. When I had a long drive home from work, I would stop and get dinner on the way from a fast food. And I'm thinking, it's so much easier just to go in and get it. I can go get my food. I can come out. I can get back in my car, and I can drive off before the guy in the back of the line even gets up there to order. And it got me to thinking about life in general. And then it got me thinking about testing and leadership. And I'm thinking, there are so many times that people say, this is the way I'm going to do it. I know this is the right way. Because we know that if there's nobody in that drive-through window, it's going to be faster to drive through than it is to stop your car, get out, go in, stand and get your food and then come back. It's going to be at least the same time, because the drive-through is just going to, you're going to go right through it. But if there's a line of people wrapped around the drive-through, you're going to be stuck, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to hate yourself for getting in that line. You're going to wish that you went a different direction. And my challenge to folks is, stop thinking that there's only one way to do testing. Stop thinking that there's only one way. I've done it this way always, and I'm going to keep doing it this way. Start thinking about, what am I doing today that if I were to get close to a roadblock that's going to take me longer, there might be an alternative way to do this so that I can still accomplish the goal and get it done faster, maybe more efficient, maybe cheaper, maybe better. And I don't have to always say, I'm going to go down this path every single time. And I think it's a very good message. I reached out to about 50 people in testing, people that I respect, you being one, and many people that were some big names and some new names to testing, because I wanted to get a perspective from people who've been doing it for years and people who are just starting. And I got about 27 or 28 different responses, and I've been going through those for several weeks now. And I love the responses from folks. I only asked 5 questions, and I'll share those in the keynote, but it's just 5 simple questions about what's working in your company, what's not working in your company, what would you say is the core needs of an organization, and what are some of the areas where your teams disagree or don't get along. And what I want to do with that is, my opening message in the keynote is going to be, you're not alone. And I heard that someone at CAST did the same thing, and I promise you, and you know it as well as I do, before CAST, I had already said that's what I was going to do. But I think I want to say, you're not alone. And if you're having this problem, then it's very likely that 50 other organizations are having the same problem. And I want to share with folks how they might can overcome some of the things that I've heard the community say. And I also want to add some other additional fun things to it, and kind of keep it exciting and humorous and kind of keep it growing.
Yeah, that's a very important message. Certainly it's important for testers to hear, and even in the larger context of life itself, you are not alone. So
absolutely.
Great, great message. So obviously, as the director of strategy of the conference, you're very familiar with the program. You always ask this question of those you're interviewing when you do the interviewing on this side of the table, but today I'm going to ask it of you. As you look over all the keynotes and sessions and workshops of the upcoming STPCon, what are some of the things that you want to be able to take part of, and what do you hope to take away?
Wow. So it's really hard for me. It's like asking someone who has 48 children, which one do you like the best? Because I was part of building this program out with the committee, and every one of them I felt were just handpicked with our group, and I felt an attachment to each of them. But the things that I like, I try to pick something from every day. So I'm going to be a little different than everyone else and say, here's just the one. But on Monday, the workshops, there's a workshop with Richard Bradshaw. A lot of folks may not know him very well in the U.S. He's very popular all over the planet in automation, but he's going to do a workshop on Lego automation. I think it's going to be outstanding. with my leadership experience and my love of leadership in testing and anything. Melissa Tondi has a workshop on leadership, a roundtable there for the second half of the day. I'm really excited about that. Tuesday, I'm going to have a problem because there's like four or five different workshops that are all at the same time that I just, it's very difficult for me to pick one. But I guess the one I'm probably going to look at is this 45 or 50 word title by Ilary and Martin. And if you haven't seen this, the name of the workshop is The Absolute Final Workshop to Everything You Will Ever Need to Know and Learn About Software Testing in Under 3 Hours with a Money Back Guarantee and Lifetime Technical Support. Batteries not included. Some restrictions may apply. It is our way to say thank you. it gave us a struggle to get that on the website, by the way.
Sure, yes.
But these guys, you know, they've done a testing circus for us. They're amazing. Hillary's done it with Ben in the past, but he's bringing Martin Heine with him. I've met Martin before. I can't wait to see the two of them do that. And then in the afternoon, Smita Misra is doing her context-driven strategies for new and experienced testers. I've seen her do similar context-driven workshops before. People love it. She does a lot of exercises, and I think it's one that's really going to drive a lot of folks to learn some new things about context-driven testing. And then I'll be quick here with Wednesday, Miko, our security keynote. He's going to be amazing. I've met him and online and talked to him. He's amazing. And then there's the Show It, Better Testing Through Visual Communication. I like anything visual. I've done courses on visual testing. That's Jess Lancaster doing a session on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I'll pick one from there saying, we've got a local guy in Texas, and I want to promote him because he just got added because someone had had to cancel. But Connor Roberts is going to do context-driven improvement, an introspective model for testers. And I want folks to come out and support him. It's near the end of the day on Thursday. But if you've got a chance, come out, check him out because he's excited. He's fired up. And this is his first big conference for him, I believe. And so I'm looking forward to all of them. I'm really going to bounce around a lot. I like to do that and kind of get a little piece of everybody's workshops and sessions as the week goes by.
That sounds awesome. I'm salivating over here. Is it the 19th yet? That's my question.
That's right.
Well, that sounds like an incredible program. So we definitely understand what you are going to take away from it. As a final question, I'm going to turn that question on its ear and ask, what do you recommend for the novice tester and the KG veteran that are attending the conference? Why would they attend?
So, you know, I ask folks this every time I do the interviews, and being the host, I get all kinds of, So I get all kinds of great ideas from people. And the thing that I've heard a lot of people say, and I'm going to steal it from everybody, including you guys, is I think that the community atmosphere, just being part of it. I hear people go to conferences and they go to this big conference and it's so big that they don't get to meet everybody, or they go to this conference and it's a really beautiful place and they spend time going to the beach or going here or there. And we pick beautiful places for STPCon. I'm not saying that's not the case. But what I'm saying is I think people stick around and they love to be part of the collaboration and the socializing. And we have multiple social events on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And there's so many different opportunities to meet some great names. And these speakers that have, you know, people are starting to ask us to come speak with us. And when they come speak with STPCon, the thing that I think those novice testers and the new testers, they come in and their eyes get big. It's like I'm meeting, you know, Jeffrey Fox, you know, the Jeffrey Fox of testing, or the superstar of testing. And they meet some of the big names, and and these folks just volunteer their time and give them the time. I see folks sitting around all around the different classes after the classes is over, after the event, in the afternoons, during the social events. There's just so many opportunities to get to meet folks who are doing great things in testing and learn something new. And there's many products. Our sponsors are great. And I think people get to get their hands on the product that's out there and learn some of the new things and how it might work for them. And our sponsors do a really good job on the Wednesday night with their sponsor events to kind of show them what their products can do. And it's good for everybody. It helps us. We get sponsors. The sponsors come in and they meet the people. people learn new products. They decide whether it's right for them or not. We're having demos with the sponsors. So I can't say enough. And you get to hear me do a keynote, my second one with STPCon, and I'm so excited. I love being the host. It gets more exciting every day. I think I love being a host more than I love anything else as part of my work with STPCon, and they've been very gracious to let me be part of this show.
Fantastic. I second everything you've said. I, too, have been on both sides. I've been sitting in the audience and up on stage, and from both perspectives, it's one of the best conferences I've attended. The sessions were fantastic, and this year sounds no different. I'm really looking forward to your sessions, looking forward to the entire program. And I think at this point, it's time for me to relinquish the interviewer's chair. It's very comfortable, but I will slide it back over to you, Mike. Thank you for allowing me to interview you today. Thanks for your
time. Thank you so much.
And we appreciate it. Remember, go to stpcon.com if you want more information. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of STP Radio. You can find out more about STPCon coming up in Dallas September 19th through the 22nd by visiting stpcon.com. For more information, discounts, and more STP Radio episodes, follow us on Twitter @SoftwareTestPro.